Let us hear the word of God. John's Gospel, chapter 13, reading from verse 4 to verse 15 and then verse 21. John's Gospel, chapter 13, from verse 4. Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "You are not all clean." When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." When Jesus had thus spoken, he was troubled in spirit and testified, "Truly, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." May God bless to our understanding this reading of his holy word. To his name be the glory and the praise. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Our text will be found in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 15. "For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." The roads of Palestine were mainly of hard-packed earth, very dusty in the dry season and very muddy in the rainy season. Most folk wore open sandals, so when they arrived at a house or an inn, one of the first things to happen was to give them a quick foot wash, a task normally assigned to a slave or servant, failing which one of the daughters of the house. It was a menial task. Yet at the Last Supper, much to the surprise of the disciples, this task was undertaken by Jesus himself. Simon Peter in particular was appalled at Jesus performing such a lowly act. Peter would gladly have washed Jesus' feet, but for Jesus to stoop to such a task for him was unthinkable. Though not so surprising or shocking as the next incident, when Jesus announced at table that one of the 12 seated there would betray him. They just couldn't believe it. These men had been his closest companions for the past 3 years, had stuck with him through all the ups and downs of his ministry. They had borne the hardships and privations of those years out of loyalty to him. Who amongst them would even think of betrayal? Yet, surprisingly, there were doubts. Luke tells us the disciples started talking among themselves, trying to guess who the betrayer would be. Matthew and Mark say that each one asked Jesus, "Is it I?" Jesus had spoken so often of the dangers which lay ahead that each disciple began to wonder just how he would react under pressure or threat. But there were more surprises in store. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, passed it round, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Jewish law prescribed very clearly the types of flesh which could be eaten, and human flesh was most definitely taboo. Then Jesus took a cup of wine. "This is my blood," he said, "drink of it, all of you." Now, blood in Jewish thought represented life, and life belonged solely to God who gave it. Thus, all Jewish meats were koshered, cleansed of blood, so that no drop of blood would ever touch the lips of a Jew, for the blood, the life, belonged to God alone. So the idea of drinking Jesus' blood would have horrified the disciples. And what did these words about eating flesh and drinking blood mean anyway? They just didn't understand. For the disciples in that upper room in Old Jerusalem, it was an evening of surprises. And strangely, the one thing which didn't surprise them was Judas leaving the company. They thought that as treasurer of the group, he had simply gone out to buy something or to make the usual Passover gift to the poor. Only Jesus knew that he had gone to betray. An evening of surprises in the upper room. As I explained last week, during Holy Week, Hope Straven will set up sites around the town representing significant incidents in that last week of Jesus' earthly life. These sites can be visited as part of an Easter pilgrimage trail. The scene in the upper room will be recreated in the premises of the Evangelical Church in Lethem Road. I don't know exactly how they will portray the upper room, but most likely the basin and towel will be there for the foot washing. The table spread for a Passover meal, the bread and wine will be displayed. Someone no doubt will give a short commentary on all that took place in that upper room, so that on the approach to Easter, we can reflect on sight, as it were, on those last telling events in Jesus' life. But what can we see in the Christ of the upper room? Well, first in the foot washing, we can see the Christ who serves, who stoops to the lowliest of tasks. We often see Christ the miracle worker, charged with supernatural power, or Christ the celebrity, surrounded by huge crowds hanging on his every word or eager for his touch to cure their ills. Or we see Christ the victim, with blood seeping from the lash marks on his back and from the thorn wounds to his head, stumbling under the weight of a heavy crossbeam. Or Christ crucified at Calvary, nailed, contorted, agonized, defeated. Or Christ the victor, so often seen in art or stained glass, robed, crowned, haloed, in all the splendor and panoply of heavenly glory and majesty and power. But in that upper room, we see the Christ who serves, stooping to his humble task. And his words come back to us, I am among you as one who serves. Not as Lord, not as Master, not as teacher, but as servant. Demonstrating the true nature of our Christian calling. Not standing with the high and noble, not wielding authority over lesser men and women, not imposing standards or conditions or creeds, but in love, stooping to the lowliest of tasks, serving wherever there is human need. Or again, in that upper room, we can see the Christ of suffering and sacrifice. The disciples didn't understand him at the time until they saw the cross with his broken body and his blood pouring down. And they remembered the bread and the wine of that last meal and his words to them, each time you do this, remember me. Remember that I came in love to suffer and to sacrifice myself for you and for others. That in love I sat in friendship and fellowship around a table, knowing that each one would get up and leave to betray or deny or abandon me. Yet Christians today seem to have lost a sense of suffering and sacrifice. We take offense so quickly, we stand in our dignity, we will not forgive. We refuse to put ourselves out even a little for the cause of Christ. We would not sit in love around a table in friendship with those who we know will betray or deny or desert us when we need them most. Yet in that upper room, in the evangelical church in Holy Week, or even here this morning as we are gathered round the table, it is not Peter, Andrew, James, John, Judas who are seated there. It is us. We claim to be his disciples, his followers. We are the ones who sit with him now. But will we see again and hear again his central message of love which serves even in the humblest of tasks, of love which will go on even through suffering and sacrifice and keep on loving? Love is difficult. It's easier to stand back, to keep aloof, to do nothing. It's easier to dislike, to dismiss, to criticize, to condemn, to hate, to be bitter, to seek revenge. Far easier. But in that upper room in Old Jerusalem, in that evening of surprises, perhaps the greatest surprise of all, is to see and to hear a love which serves and suffers and sacrifices and goes on loving even though it meant a cross. And Jesus says, let him who would come after me take up his cross and follow. Or in the words of our text, I have given you an example that you also should do. God, grant us grace. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be glory and praise forever.